I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 7. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 7. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 7 reads this way. It says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as believers and as your church. And Lord, we ask for your blessing that you've promised of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may you do a work in each and every one of our hearts as individuals. And then, Lord, may you do a work collectively as a body of believers, as your local New Testament church, as your bride, that you would build us and, Lord, allow us to honor and glorify you. Speak to us, Lord, this morning, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is a question: Hast thou not known me? Hast thou not known me? And so, really, the Lord today, unfortunately, has all kinds of believers. Now, you know, I use the word unfortunately because all kinds is there. What does that mean? Well, some are saved and some are lost. I think of Judas, right? He followed the Lord, didn't he? But he didn't know the Lord. The Bible says some are hot. That's a good place to be. The Bible also says some are lukewarm. That's not a good place to be. And worse yet, some are cold, right? And we don't want to be that kind of a believer. And so we want to be a diligent seeker of the Lord, and we thank the Lord for that opportunity. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So it'd be a good place to be a diligent seeker of the Lord, to find the Lord and understand who he is. And that's what the Lord really is wanting to communicate to his people here this morning, all of us. He wants us to understand that if we diligently seek God, we're going to find him, and God wants us to find him, but he does want us to use faith. And that is interchanged with the word trust. And what is that faith or that trust in? In the word of God and what he has said. And so the first part of it is, if you seek me, you're going to find me. But be careful that we're not looking for a doctrine. Be careful, listen, because the Pharisees had all kinds of doctrines, but they didn't know the Lord. They misunderstood who he was. And so be careful that we don't have a conviction. That's not who God wants us to follow, our convictions. In other words, we have these ideas that if we do these things, we are right with God. That's not the way it works. If we are right with God, these things will follow, but it's not in those things in and of themselves that we are to be satisfied with or confident in or to be content in. God wants us to follow not our convictions, not our concerns, but he wants us to follow him in our lives, and all these things that we need in our lives, he will add them into our lives. And if we're not careful, we get to this place in life where, well, as long as I'm following what I think is right, God will be okay with me. That's not what he asked us to do. He said for us to follow him. And then in doing so, we'll get to know who he is. Now, here's a question. Do disciples have difficulties? Is it possible for you and I, as disciples or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have misunderstandings on what God is saying to us? It is possible. So it would be a blessing to us, and it would be a good thing for you and I to say, you know, Lord, I need your help in following you because I can misdirect myself if you're not leading me. I think it was last Sunday somebody was mentioning, and I just remember the conversation and remember doing the very same thing. You get caught up, you're driving somewhere, you get caught up in a conversation, and even if it's a familiar place, have you ever missed an exit? Have you ever missed an exit? And then what's really bad is if the next exit's not for a long time, then you got to turn around and come back. But it's easy for us to get caught up in what we are doing and forget to keep our eyes on the Lord to follow Him. And that's getting caught up in conversation. That is getting caught up in the conversation of our life and what are the things that we have to do. And God's not saying don't do the things that you have to do. He's not saying to be irresponsible. He wants us to be responsible, but not to get caught up in taking care of those things and missing out on walking after the Lord. So this morning, we want to consider three biblical marks of a believer that knows God, or at least knows the way God wants him to know Him. See, that's the difference. A lot of people say, oh, I know the Lord, I know God, but they don't know Him the way God wants them to know Him. Judas knew the Lord, the Pharisees knew the Lord, Pilate knew the Lord to some degree, but did they know Him the way that God wanted them to know Him? And the answer is no, they did not. So we want to look at these three marks. The first one is that we are given a revelation of the Godhead. That's an important revelation that God gives us. And by the way, we find here the case of the disciples, and Thomas was just before. They didn't know where the Lord was going, and so the Lord was communicating to them how they do know. And how did they know all these things? Because they knew the Lord. And they just needed to trust Him. If the Lord says, listen, I'm going to lead you, you can count on that. And we need to be careful to follow the Lord in His direction. The second mark is we're given a revelation of God's work. And the last, we're given a revelation of God's greater work in us. And the reason why the word revelation is there is because God is the revealer of all truth. And He's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit to reveal these truths to us. So it's important for you and I to get caught up following the Lord in the way that allows Him to reveal to us what we need to know. And how does that work? Well, Lord, I need You first of all in my life, and I want to understand to a greater degree what Your Word is saying. We cannot, it will never benefit the believer to approach the Word of God like a regular textbook. In other words, I've studied it, I know it. That's not the spiritual side of it, because In the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's involved. He can lift up one word that can reveal to you things that you've never seen before. He can lift up one verse and show you things that you've never seen before. And by the way, if you've been saved for any length of time, no doubt, if you've been saved and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that has happened somewhere in your life where you said, wow, I've read that, I can't tell you how many times, and yet God reveals it to me. If we're not careful, we just, I've done that before. Oh, listen, you've not been this way before following the Lord, and God wants to show us things. Listen, I can approach the Word of God like that too. Listen, I've studied all of the backgrounds of the Scriptures, but I need to humbly walk before the Lord asking for His guidance to show me not what I know about the Bible, but what He wants me to know about Himself and His Word. So we do want to follow the Lord. And again, the question that the Lord said, hast thou not known Me? And if you pick up the context of what He's saying is, you should know Me. I've been right here with you the whole time. And God wants us to know Him exactly in such a way that we know what He's doing in our lives. And so notice, if you will, the first thought here, and that is that we're given a revelation of the Godhead. Back up with me here to verse 7 again. He says, if ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also, and from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. So who have they seen? Well, they've seen the Lord. And so that's an understanding that, You, Lord, I see now. The Father is in You, and You are in the Father. This is more of an understanding of what He's already told them. And so they're given a revelation of the Godhead, and they understand the working of the Spirit of God. There's a great triune, or the three in one. But what does Philip say? Verse 8. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. He didn't get it. Because he was caught up. Remember what they were talking about before? Lord, who's going to be the greatest? Lord, look what we've done. All these different things that were going on in life, and they were missing who they were walking with. And so the Lord just told them, listen, if you know Me, you've seen the Father. And so Philip says, okay, Lord, let's just settle it. Satisfy us. Show us the Father. What did they think he was going to do? Open up a door and say, come on in, Heavenly Father. No, the Heavenly Father was with him, and he was submissive to that, and they missed out on that. Jesus, verse 9, saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Did you see that? Listen, and yet thou hast not known me. Who's he saying? The Father's in him. You haven't known me. What is the Lord doing? Believe it or not, the Lord is giving Philip the answer. He's saying, okay, you wanted to see the Father? Here's the Father. That's what he's doing. Remember Thomas, he doubted the Lord? And so the Lord said, okay, put your finger here. These are not wrong things. If we have questions, let's go to the answer, to the one who gives us the answer to those questions. And so he says, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Then he clarifies it. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou, then show us the Father? There he is, right there in front of you. Well, let me just hold up here just for a moment and call your attention back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, because this is important concerning what kind of a follower God wants us to be. Notice back with me, if you would, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to look at what the Lord says here in verse 7. It says a couple of things, ready? He says, ask, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall what? It's good to be a diligent seeker, isn't it? God says you're going to find. If you're going to ask and you're going to knock, you're going to find, and things are going to be opened unto you. Notice verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Did you see that? That's why it's important to understand. Look, God says, if I ask, he's going to give me an answer. And so we need to be in tune. But if I say, oh, I'm going to ask, but I don't expect any answer, guess what you're going to get? You're not going to get an answer. Because is that faith? Is that trusting? Is that believing? In other words, if you were to give somebody your word and they said, oh, yeah, right, how would that make you feel? Would it be a little offensive? Imagine what it does to God. Imagine if we come, God, do you think God knows if we have an expecting heart? Do you think he knows what we think about an expecting heart? What he's saying? Do you realize that when God, who we're talking about is the one that spoke everything into existence and makes your body function in such a way that we are amazed? Isn't that amazing? That everything is set in place to function. That does not come from chaos, that comes from a creator. And not only a creator, but a savior, a benevolent, loving God that wants to show us things that are beyond, because his mind, his intellect, I dare say it, is far beyond ours. And if we're not careful, we allow the secular world to say, oh, this is a bunch of fairy tales, and oh, this is men wrote the Bible. Well, they're half right. They did pen it down, but it was by the Spirit of God that it was penned down. And just because they can't see what God has revealed to us, remember, there was a time when we didn't see it. But God has opened up our eyes to understand it. And so the Lord says there's more of that to come if you'll believe me. But see, God does not want us to be convinced by what we think. Have you ever been wrong in what you thought? I promise you, you will be wrong if all you have about God is what you think. You have missed him. You have missed him, because that is our own pride. Well, I will intellectually, with my own understanding, listen, nobody knows the Lord. Would you say that the Apostle Paul was an intellect? He was a great intellect. He had a great mind. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? Pharisee of Pharisees. How about Nicodemus? Would you say he was a well-educated ruler of the Jews? Would you say that? Yeah. And did he know the Lord Jesus Christ? No, he had to humble himself when he came to him by night, and the Lord said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He had a question. He didn't say, hooey on that. He said, Lord, I don't understand. How could a man be born when he is old? And so the Lord said, since you asked, I'm going to show you. And I believe that Nicodemus knows the Lord and is in heaven today because he humbled himself and was not concerned about what he knew about the Word of God. He had more concern about knowing who Jesus was. Amen? And so likewise also in the life of in our lives as believers, we need to know who the Lord is or we will miss him completely. He's real and he's way beyond our intellect. In fact, we need him to guide us. And if we don't see that, we will miss all that he has for us, even as a child of God. So he says, I want you to know, I want to reveal things, good things. In fact, verse 11 here, right here in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So God wants to answer our needs. He wants to meet us where we're at. Then notice this here, again, concerning what kind of followers the Lord has. Look at verse 21. Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 7, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I've heard this many times. People say to me, it rubs me the wrong way when people say the good Lord. It's a good indication that they don't know who the Lord is. The good Lord. And you know, a lot of times that's true, but it's not impossible for somebody to really know the Lord and say the good Lord, but it just really comes across like they're a great distance. And yet I've had people tell me, found out I was a preacher, and I never said anything. I never said, but they come up to me and they tell me, you know, I do the Lord's work too. I walk away thinking, what is that? What are you talking about? I do the Lord's work, and they're not in ministry. I do the Lord's work. I'm like, what do you think that is? You know? And so God says, listen, I want you to know me in a wonderful way. But notice what he says here in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? To follow the Son. He's not asking us to keep commandments, convictions, or any. He says, here's my Son, hear him. Isn't that what he said to the disciples? He said, listen to my Son, right? And so the Son's been revealed in our dispensation, if you will, of the Scriptures. And so God says, follow him. Why? Because he says this. In fact, let's just read that verse again, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Why? Notice, many will say to me in that day, the day they stand before the Lord, 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 have we not prophesied in thy name? Preach the word. If you want to make it as a prophetic word that was like in the Old Testament, I'm okay with that. But I'm convinced specifically it's prophesying the word of God is proclaiming it as well, teaching it, preaching it. But many, and by the way, do you think there's a lot of people that preach the word of God that did not know Jesus? Yeah, there are. Unfortunate. There are. Hey, listen, there are preachers today that are preaching the name of Jesus, but saying you must be baptized or you have no eternal life. You'll not find that in the Bible. You'll not find that in the Word of God. You must be baptized, but you must do this or do that. Or you must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you must do this, that, or the other. And by the way, shortly after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Galatian believers were having troubles because the Judaizers were coming in. Oh yeah, believe on Jesus, but then you have to do the religious rites as well. Follow them. And Paul said, man, who's put a spell on you? Who's bewitched you? That you started off in the spirit, you're now going to lean to the flesh to justify yourself. What? You're denying the Lord. You're trampling the blood of Christ underfoot to bypass what he's done for you. He says, many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. He says, and then after they do that, they're going to do that. Now here's the hard thought. Ready? We're probably going to see that. We're probably going to watch people that were so sure. They were so sure because of what they thought they miss the Lord, and they're going to hear it at the end. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are people that enter into the ministry for whatever reason, and God says, I've not called them. I have not called them. We are not here today to put on a show. We are here today to lift up the Son of God, the Savior of the world. We are here. So let's consider this. All right. What is it? And let's go back to our text here, back in the Gospel of John. What is it that makes a successful church? That's a good thing. What is it that makes a successful church? Well, is it souls being saved? That's a good thing. Souls being baptized, that's a good thing. Souls being discipled, that's a good thing. All these things are good things. But what's really going to matter to you and me specifically was, did God have his will and his way in our lives? See, it's good. It's good if all those things are taking place, but the best is if God is performing and fulfilling his will in our lives. What is he? Are we yielded to him? Now, what does that mean? Well, he says, if you're yielded to me and if things are right, guess what? The believer is going to bear fruit. Whose fruit? The world's fruit? The believer's fruit? Or God's fruit? It's God's fruit. And he says, and in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about not the fruits of the Spirit, but it's singular, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of them are born in the life of the believer, the patience, the kindness, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the love, all of these things. And the Lord said that by the love that you have one for another, and especially to the Lord, the world's going to know. The world's going to know who we belong to. So this is an important thing. How much do I love the Lord? Well, if I love the Lord, I'm going to be looking for him. This is important because do you believe that the Lord's return is soon at hand? Do you believe that? Listen, I don't know the day or the hour, and nobody does. And God says, occupy till I come. Plan out your life. That's a good thing to do. But seek God in on it, right? How come? Why? Because the Lord says, tell me how it finishes. Even so, Lord, come what? And then he says, I come what? He's coming soon, right? He's coming quickly. Now wait a minute. How does that relate? Oh, they've been saying that. Forget about they. Listen to what God is saying. And listen to this. Do you remember being 10 or under any of your life? Do you remember 10 or maybe some of the friends, some of the things, your grandparents being 10 years old? Behold, your life is but a vapor. Right? Is it not but a vapor? What, wasn't that just yesterday? Wait a minute. Do you remember your teenage years? Maybe you don't want to, but you remember your teenage years? Just like that, they're gone. You remember thinking 25 was old? Oh man, they're old. 25 years old. I said that to somebody. He said, you blink, you'll be 25 years old. I've passed that a long time ago. But wait a minute. It wasn't really a long time ago. And here's the important thought. Our life truly is short. Our life truly, listen, when we stand before the Lord, we're going to truly understand that he told us he's coming quickly. And that's sooner than we realize. So let's consider a couple of things here. The most important thing for the church is for the individual believer to be walking with their God. That's what's really important. Because listen, if we are right with the Lord, didn't God promise to bless us? If we are seeking God, if we are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, isn't that what he said in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all of them, people being saved, people being baptized, people being discipled, all these things shall be added unto you. But not if we're not, see, if we're not careful, listen, you could be part of a church that is participating and receiving all of these blessings from the Lord. But what will happen to the believer who has neglected their relationship with the Lord when they stand before him? They're going to miss out on what God intended for them. So what's really vitally important, and I don't know if this is going to make sense, it's not what the church is doing, it's what God is doing in you. Because if God is actively involved in your life, the church will be what God wants it to be, not what we want it to be. Because if we're not careful, we're working to try to produce something that God said He'll add to it. If we're not careful, we're all focused on what we think we... See, we'll miss God if we're concerned about our convictions, about what we think, and we'll miss what the Lord wants to do in our lives, because the direction of God said to seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness where? In us. In us. And so here are the disciples. And by the way, this is a hard truth for us as human beings, really, to allow the Lord to give us understanding on. And so here are the disciples who walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. And the Lord is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Philip is saying, show us the Father. He still doesn't get it. And he was with the Lord for 3.5 years. Is it possible that we might be missing God, something that God is wanting us to understand and to have in our own lives? See, I'm convinced of this. More important than anything that you and I could ever do for the Lord is what God wants to do for us. That's what He wants. He's saying, put yourself, submit yourselves to me. That's what He's saying. Did He not say that? Present yourselves a living sacrifice. Is that not what His word says? That's what's really important, because if we present ourselves, then He can do His will instead of us doing for God what we think. I'm telling you, listen, that's the majority of the problem today in the hearts and minds of God's people. And so therefore, we don't have the Spirit of God leading us. We're too busy doing for God, and we're not experiencing God doing for us. And that can mislead us in a very wrong way. And so these disciples had their own ideas. Peter did also. Is it possible to think we can do God a service and being led by the spirit of the devil? I'm convinced that Peter was sure that it was a bad thing for the Lord to go to the cross. And the Lord said, listen to this. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, because thou savorest what? Not the things that be of God, but the things that be of what? Not the devil even, but the things that be of what? Men. But the things that be of men. So it is so easy to get caught up in the devil's ploy and plan in our lives, because it is the natural thing. It has become, listen, it has become the natural thing since the fall of Adam and Eve. That's not what God intended, but once we start using our own, that's what she did. That's what the devil wanted her to do. The devil said, hey, look, it's going to be good for you to eat. You're going to like the way it tastes. Sin is pleasurable for a season, isn't it? Not only that, but it's going to give you knowledge. It did. It did those things. But it wrecked her relationship with the Lord. And so that's what happens when we lean to our own understandings. We think, well, this is not a bad thing. No, but is it what God wants? See, that's what really matters. Not if it's... See, if we're not careful... We gauge our life by, well, I don't see anything wrong in that. Yeah, no. The question is it what God wants? That's the real question. If we are looking for what God wants instead of what the world is telling us or what we're thinking, the walk's going to be a whole lot different than what we think. So notice here, right here, we're given a revelation of God's work. Look at verse 10 here in John chapter 14. Verse 10 says this, believest thou not, listen, that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now listen, these works are important, and we are given a revelation of God's work. Did Jesus just point Philip here to the work? He did. He pointed him. He said, listen, you're having trouble? Look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Why did Jesus ask that question? Because Philip didn't know it. In fact, listen. The truth is, when Philip said, show us the Father, Jesus' question was right. Don't you believe? He didn't. He did not believe a man who walked with the Lord, who should have known, did not know. Is it possible for us as believers to have heard the word of God and not know the will of God? Was it the will of God that Philip know who the Father was in Jesus? And he didn't know it. So listen, verse 10, the Lord says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he," what? He's doing the work. Everything that you've seen, Philip, was from the Father. Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every good gift. He says, verse 11, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake," for what's being produced. Now, listen, this is why it's important that we don't see the work that we're doing for God. Listen, but the work that God is doing for us. What is the work that God is going to do for us? Did he say, I'm going to work my life in you. I'm going to give you my peace. Did he say, not the peace of the world? I'm going to give you my joy, not the joy of the world. Now let's just rest on that just for a moment and understand what that is, what that implication is that God is talking about, the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes understanding. Does that mean you'll not bear a cross? No, it does not mean that you'll not bear a cross. But that does mean that your hope is in God and he'll give you peace. Does that mean you won't feel pain? No, that does not mean you won't feel pain. That does not mean that you won't go through difficult times or trials or tribulations. But that does mean that you have something that is bubbling in your heart that keeps you moving forward. That does mean that you have something that the world does not have. And it is possible for God's people not to have the joy of God and the peace of God. This is the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, and that is that he is in control in everything. I can have peace in that, can't I? You mean to tell me even when my world is turned upside down, God is still in control? You mean when things don't go the way that I think they should go, God is still in control? And is he working all things that I don't understand for his honor and glory? And for my good? Yes. How readily available is that received by the believer? If it is received, there's no complaints. And there's no saying, oh, Lord, had you been here, my brother he wouldn't have died. Lord, had you been here, Lord, if you would have done it the way I think you should do it, this would have been the result. But what we're saying is, Lord, you blew it. Is it possible for God's people to do that? Mary and Martha did. But I want to tell you, God did a lot of good things through them as well. God can do a lot of good things through your life and mine, but that does not negate the fact that God wants us to know him better and to follow him and not ourselves. Why does he, if you will consider the New Testament, in fact, all of the scriptures, God is telling us to not lean to our own understanding, but in how many of our ways to acknowledge him? And then he'll direct our paths. You want to know why we don't know the Lord's way? We're not acknowledging him in all our ways. We're not yielded to him in all our ways. Do you know that God said, I'm going to glorify myself in the life of the believer? Did you know that? That's what he said. And how will he do that? By his Spirit. And all you have to focus on is on following the Lord and allowing him to do his work and believing in that. Lord, I'm asking you today to fill me with your Spirit so that I can see. And by the way, keep knocking until he answers. I want you to know I knock on the door all the time. I'm not guaranteed of one moment if I lean to my flesh. But if I, Lord, I am trusting you. Do you think he's going to, Lord, thank you today. Amen. Because you're going to lead the way and I'm going to follow you. And so when you bring up a situation or a circumstance that I don't understand, in my heart and mind, you're still in control. You can know that and not know it. You can know that truth and not have the experience of God's Spirit confirming that in your heart. That's what that means. You can know it intellectually, but no experience. You can regurgitate it like the Pharisees did, no power. How will you get the power? In the midst of the trial, you'll get the experience if you're looking unto the Lord. Otherwise, you're just regurgitating things that mean absolutely, listen, nothing to you or anybody else. Because God wants to bless us first as believers to experience his peace and his joy through that trial before we will ever be able to be a blessing to anybody else. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the work of God in his people. These disciples are getting ready to be dismayed like they've never been before, and the Lord knew it. And he was trying to prepare them. Did they go through hardships? Absolutely. And listen, did they fail? Did they fail the Lord? Yeah, one of them, Peter, even denied him. Question, listen, was God finished with them? He wasn't. And God's not finished with us either. Have you failed? Yes, I failed. And praise God, he's not done with us. And so here's the thing. The devil would say, come on, you've been saved for so long, forget about this. That's what the devil would have you do. The Lord would say, keep seeking me, I'm not done with you. I'm going to fulfill my work if you'll just believe me, if you'll just have faith in me, if you'll just trust what I'm saying, because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. Do you want to please the Lord? You need to have faith, trust in what he said. Amen. And so if you believe somebody and they say, I'm going to be there tomorrow, will you show up tomorrow because you believe them? The Lord said, I'll be there. When you seek me, he says, you'll find me. Does that mean I show up and I don't see the person that said that they're going to be there? I'm leaving. I don't see them. Or should I wait? Because if I believe in them, I'll wait. If I don't believe in them, I'm gone. If the Lord says, knock until I answer, how long should we knock for? Are you sure? I don't know. Maybe a day? I don't know. I've done that before. Should I do it again? See, this is where real Christianity is about. The work that nobody sees that's taking place in your life and mine as we personally for ourselves seek God. And so, he says, hey, listen, I want you to know that you can even, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Did these disciples see the work of God? They did. You know, Judas did too, but he rejected it. Question, if you're here and you're saved, have you ever seen God work in your life? Then that means he's not done. And that means the promises are for you if you've seen him work. If not, then you better check out your relationship with the Lord. I wouldn't want you to be somewhere where the Pharisees were at. I wouldn't want you to be in the same camp that the Lord spoke about. Many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, look what we've done. Question, if they're saying, Lord, Lord, look what we've done, what are they looking to? And who are they following? They're not following the Lord. Last thought. This is the third mark. We're given a revelation of God's greater work in us. He said, listen, I want you to know who the Godhead is. I want you to remind you of the work of God. And then I want you to be mindful of the greater work that is done inside the believer himself. Listen, look at verse 12. Verily, verily, that can be rendered truly, truly. Verily, verily, or truly, truly. This is the Lord saying it. Truly, truly. If God says something once, is it true? If he repeats it more than once, is he trying to communicate an important message? He's wanting us to believe this. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen to this. He that believeth on me, he's talking to more than just the apostles now. He's talking to every believer that will ever believe on him. He that believeth on me, listen to this. The works that I do shall he do also. You know what the first thing we think about? This is the natural realm. Walking on the water, healing the sick. Forget about that. How about the fruit of the Spirit? We think, greater works, am I going to be able to do this, that? And how about just what God said he's going to do in our lives? See, the devil would have you put your ideas on walking on the water. Who does that elevate? Not the Lord. Look at me. Do you know what elevates the Lord? When you and I are humbled and looking to him. When people smite us on the cheek, we turn the other one. Now, let's just get beyond the physical realm. When somebody does something unkind to you, you don't lash back. That's turning the other cheek. And you don't have to be coy with them, and you don't have to be witty with them, because all of that is not of the Spirit. You don't have to defend yourself. That's not of the Spirit either. Because God will work it all out. Now, I will tell you, I've done all of those things. Answered back, tried to be witty. I'm not very good at it. But God says the fruit of the Spirit. And greater, listen, do you believe that? Is Jesus telling the truth? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works. That's God's promise. Than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. It would be a blessing to the Lord to see his people saying, I want you to have your will and your way in my life. It's all yours. Lord, I believe, root out the unbelief that would hinder your work in me. What does that mean? That means I believe every word unconditionally that you put in your book. Not most of it, not some of it, every bit of it. And only God can take us to that place. God said here in this verse here, He said, you're going to do the works that I did and greater works. Now see, the fruit of the Spirit can be seen in your life by you when nobody else is around. You know what everybody sees here? What we want them to. But you know what God sees? Everything. Even when you're all by yourself, where is your heart? Where is your mind? What do you think? And I'm not talking about lasciviousness or licentiousness. I'm talking about, what is your heart about? Is it for the glory of God or is it for ourselves? Because that's our nature. And you can't be divided with the Lord. You've got to be all in as a saved child of God. Lord, I'm all in. What does that mean? All in. Every bit, Lord, is yours. Question. Is God worthy of that? Is God one glimpse of heaven is going to blow away all of the accomplishments and achievements of mankind, and God's going to give it to us. And we will have the mind of Christ that will move us into a realm we've never been in. Just having the mind of Christ is going to blow us all away. We're going to know things like we've never known before. Is that not true? So the question, is God worthy? If you had somebody sitting on the sidelines that you knew was richer than the top four richest men or people of the world, I don't know who they are anymore. Quite frankly, I really don't care. And they told you, if you will just do this or follow me, I will give you all of my inheritance. I'll give it all to you. would that be worth, and I don't, this is a poor illustration, but will that be worth more than what you have? It will be, wouldn't it? God who owns a cattle of 1,000 hills, God who owns it all. Do you think God has more in store for the believer than was ever created or will be created on planet Earth? Amen. Heaven, to me, is infinite. It will never end. Whatever it is that you think you like, God knows it. Amen. In fact, God gave you that desire. But He wants us to trust Him ultimately with it. I would dare say this. Nobody would do wrong to give up everything of this life to gain everything of the next one to come in heaven. How much do we believe that? And God's not asking you to give anything up but yourself to Him. Now watch this, ready? Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. How about the works, God? That's a good thing to ask the Lord. Do you remember what He said in verse 12? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. How about the work of your Holy Spirit in my personal life? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, how about the love, Lord, that I need, your love in me to other people? Not my love, my human love. Doesn't go very far. Oh, listen, it will die for people they love. That's the human love. But the godly love, listen, will die for those that hate us. That's God's love. God's love is, and we think, well, I don't know if I want to go there. Well, that brings us into something that we've never experienced before. In through our lives. Imagine, listen, God's not saying just do it. God says, I'll supply that love to love those that hate you. Imagine that. Listen, think of that. Loving those that you love with the power of God, not just our love, and being able by the power of God to love, genuinely love those that hate us. When they were railing at the Lord on the cross, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, what motivated that statement from the heart of God? Was it just because He was supposed to, or because He was the Son of God, or was it because He loved them? God says, I have that same love for you. I want that same love in you and through you. That will also blow away, if we have God's love for that, that means we have God's love, which is a better love, to love our own. Because let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life that you have done something unkind to somebody you love? You don't have to answer that. That's because that's our love. Our love is selfish. Our love is selfish. I'm not saying it's not sacrificial to our loved ones. But how much more to have the love of God in us to love our own and those that hate us for the testimony of God. The love of God in us will consider the really well-being and not some things that just benefit me or the way I want to do things. We'll be able to see things from God's perspective. That's what the love of God will do. Listen to these last three verses very quickly and we're done. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's God's promise. It's not maybe about it. He'll do it. If you really want the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life, God says He's going to give it to you. You just have to seek Him on it. He'll do it. He says, that will I do. Verse 13. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the purpose. He'll perform it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, we're going to ask for the right things. If you love me, that's important, isn't it? Keep my commandments. Amen. How does He want us to keep those commandments? Is that what He wants us to do? Just keep the commandments? No, he says, that will happen if you seek me. He says, that will be the result if I'm in you. You won't even have to worry about it because the Spirit of God will be leading in such a way that you will be awed. And you will say, Lord, I want that again tomorrow. Amen? I want that again every moment of every day. The love of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Question, was that intended for the believer? It was, wasn't it? Here's another question. Don't answer this. Do we have it? And if not, it's not because God doesn't want to give it. Because God wants us to have it. Why? Because it blesses us and glorifies His name. It marks us as children of God. So this morning, God says, if you'll call on me, and I want you to, I want to give you things that you need and that you will enjoy and that you'll be amazed by. But you have to trust Him and you have to believe what He said. So the invitation is the Lord's, but the opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. I pray, Lord, that You would open up our will, our understanding, that You might have Your will and way in our lives. Lord, that we might seek for Your will and Your way in our lives. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.